Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
We also have been asking a question for the last several months, ever since July 2025 specifically, about the direction the country's going in. Specifically, would you say things in the U.S. today are generally headed in the right direction or on the wrong track?
Dr. Michael Lingemeyer is director for the Center for Commercial Ag at Purdue.
Just like May, the percent that say we're heading in the right direction is much, much lower than what it was for the last 6 months of 25, where it ranged from 67 to 75%, and 75% being December. Now we're in that 52 to 53% of respondents think we're heading in the right direction.
Well, one thing that's changed for sure, global ag trade. It's increasingly being shaped outside of the World Trade Organization as countries rely more on regional agreements, bilateral negotiations, and national trade policies to resolve disputes. WTO still provides foundation for international trade rules, but its negotiating process has struggled to produce new ag agreements. Members generally have to reach consensus before adopting major changes, making reform difficult when exporting and import countries have sharply different priorities. And the dispute settlement system has also changed significantly. U.S. continues to block appointments to that appellate body, arguing reforms are needed before the appeals process resumes. So without a functioning appellate body, some trade disputes can't reach final resolution through the organization's traditional enforcement system. U.S. food inflation remains uneven, with beef prices climbing rapidly, while eggs become dramatically cheaper. USDA's Economic Research Service expects overall food prices to rise 3.1% this year, but individual grocery categories moving in sharply different directions. Beef and veal prices 11.8% above last year in June, forecast to increase 10.7% this year. Tight cattle supplies and record seasonal wholesale values continue pushing costs higher despite strong consumer demand. Now, egg prices are moving in the opposite direction. Retail values 27.9% below last year, projected to fall over 30% this year as production recovers and avian influenza losses ease. Fresh vegetables, another pressure point. 9.9% above last year, including lettuce up 32%, tomatoes up over 19%. And ocean freight costs for moving U.S. grain to Japan surged during the second quarter. It's threatening export competitiveness as harvest shipments approach. USDA's grain transportation report says Gulf rates average $69.27 per metric ton. That's 149% of last year. Pacific Northwest rates averaging 36 and a quarter per metric ton. It's up 134%. Gulf to Japan spread now equal to 171% of last year. It's increasing the advantage for Western ports. Gulf to Japan rates remain near $69.50. Pacific Northwest rates holding around $36.50. El Nino and congestion at major shipping checkpoints could instead push costs higher. Panama Canal restrictions or longer routes around Africa could add more as well. It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
We still saw the big sell-off in crude oil because of the headlines about Iran.
Arlen Suderman is chief commodities economist with StoneX.
Grain and oilseed prices following sharply lower as well, particularly corn and soybeans. Now, the headlines this morning said it was because Ukraine didn't really strike any grain facilities on Russia's Black Sea ports over the weekend, but they did strike grain facilities in the Sea of Azov and in areas surrounding there. So they were still striking. But when I see corn and soybeans taking the big losses versus wheat, then that makes me think, though, this is more of a weather story. And yes, we did see the weather models continue to move in a positive direction to help the crops for the month of August. That could all change at any moment as if the weather models flip. But for now, they're looking more favorable. And so while today we may see some declines in ratings, particularly in the western part of the Corn Belt for the corn and soybeans, when USDA releases their weekly crop ratings this afternoon after the markets close, because of the intense heat that we saw over the weekend, still seeing in some places today, we are seeing milder temperatures come in. And those milder temperatures, more seasonal temperatures, should hold over the next couple of weeks for many of these areas. Kind of some brief heat, but not the intense that we have. And a little bit wetter over the weekend as well. And that's seen as positive. Now, so far as we look at this crop and take a snapshot each Monday at the crop ratings, and all of those go into crop models. Some crop models also have weather incorporated in them. Some do not. We've seen thus far very good yields. And those good yields are what the funds are trading. You may not like that if you're a producer. You do like it if you're an end user. But it's the reality. The funds, if they're going to have billions of dollars invested in the commodities, they're going to either spend a lot of money developing yield models or they're going to subscribe to yield models. And all of the ones that I've seen are well above where USDA is at. That may change over the next few weeks, but that is where they are at today. That is what the funds are trading right now. And so these weather developments are key and critical, and it's been a ebb and flow, as I've talked about in other videos. Two very opposing weather forces this year between the strong El Nino, which tends to give favorable weather conditions in the Midwest for corn and soybean yields, and the negative PDO, which basically means cooler waters in the northern and eastern Pacific than in the southern and western Pacific. That tends to give adverse conditions over the Midwest. And so we have this battle going on with this hot, high pressure ebbing and flowing in and out of the Midwest. And most impacted is going to be western areas. That's going to continue to be the case. But that's what's been impacting these crops this year. So what is the big picture? And while some states will probably have some significant yield losses, other states could have some significant above trend yield. How does it all come together? What the futures market cares about is the size of the total crop. The cash market, the basis markets will worry about the differences from state to state and where supplies need to be moved within the Midwest and within the country to meet all of the demand. But the futures market right now is concerned about the size of the total crops, and that is what it's trading.
It's Agriculture Today.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operation safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Agriculture Today.
Organic corn earned substantially more than conventional corn over the past 5 years. So why aren't more farmers making the switch? Simply because average profits don't tell the whole story. Some organic farms actually earn less than the best conventional farms, and the difference between the highest and lowest performing organic operations was far greater than it was for conventional farms.
Dr. Michael Langemeyer is director for the Center for Commercial Ag at Purdue.
Today we're comparing 5 years of FinBin data from the University of Minnesota on using conventional and organic crop enterprise data. We'll look at how crop yields, prices, costs, and profitability compare, but more importantly, we'll discuss what these numbers mean for management decisions on your farm and the decision about whether you want to certify some ground as being organic. The biggest difference wasn't the average profit, it was the variation between farms. For conventional corn, the difference between the highest and lowest performing farms was $866 per acre. I did not make a mistake there, $866 per acre. For organic farms, this spread exceeded $1,400 per acre. So obviously some farms are doing really good and others not so good. The same pattern appeared for soybeans, although the median organic soybean farm earned substantially more than the median conventional farm. Some organic soybean producers generated returns that were similar to the lowest performing conventional operations. And so just because you're organic doesn't mean it's going to be more profitable. It depends on management. So what does this tell us? It tells us that organic production offers greater profit potential, but also requires much stronger management to consistently achieve those returns. Experience, weed control, crop rotations, marketing, and overall management appear to matter even more in organic systems than they do in conventional production, with a highlight on weed control. It's very important to control weeds in organic systems. There's two additional points that are easy to overlook. Most organic operations don't grow only corn and soybeans. Also, there is a transition period of 2 to 3 years required before a field can be certified as organic. Net returns during those transition years can be relatively low. Let's look at the crop rotations. Organic rotations typically include crops like oats, winter wheat, or alfalfa. In this study, those crops generally produce returns that were similar to, or in some cases lower, than their conventional counterparts. That means you can't evaluate an organic system looking only at the profitability of corn or soybeans. This is a very important point. You must evaluate the economics of the entire crop rotation. You also need to consider whether reliable markets exist for every crop in that rotation. Case in point is alfalfa. There may not be a market for organic alfalfa in your area. Depending on where your farm is located, finding profitable markets for organic small grains or forages in general can be much more challenging than marketing organic corn or soybeans. So what's the takeaway? If you're considering organic production, don't focus only on the price premium. Focus on whether your operation consistently manages the production system required to earn that premium. Run realistic enterprise budgets. We have some examples on our website. Test how sensitive profitability is to changes in yield, prices, and production costs. Also, evaluate the returns for the entire rotation, not just your highest return crops such as corn or soybeans. The bottom line is this: organic corn and soybean enterprises generated substantially higher average net returns over the past 5 years, but they also showed much greater variability from one farm to another. Success in organic production isn't simply about earning higher prices. It's about having the management system, experience, and marketing opportunities needed to consistently capture those higher returns.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit TexasCorn.org and become a member today.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
On the soybean side, we still have the very strong biofuel mandate that was handed down to us this spring.
Arlen Suderman is chief commodities economist with StoneX.
In fact, it's so strong, imports are required, but the new tariff policies that President Trump just put into place are going to make those imports more expensive, so making it even more important, putting more pressure on the RIN market to make everything balance out. That is still a factor. Okay, so that strong domestic demand, keeping crush pace strong, although crushers will be taking some downtime for maintenance for soybean crushers in August and September, as they always do. Each of those maintenance periods tends to average about 10 days per crusher. They take it at different times, etc. But that tends to reduce crush seasonally, but they'll be pushing as strong as they can otherwise. But what about the Chinese demand? They promised to buy 25 million metric tons of soybeans in the next marketing year. And on top of that, 17 billion in other ag commodity products. We haven't really seen them make any changes toward that $17 billion promise, but we have seen them become active buyers of soybeans for delivery in the next marketing year. Will they actually hit the 25 million metric tons? If so, we don't have enough soybeans to sell them, even if we get a trend yield. Maybe if we get a well above trend yield, yes, but if we get a trend yield or lower, we certainly do not, and the market would have to ration for that. I have been a skeptic that they would buy 25 million metric tons. I think many in the trade have been a skeptic that they would buy 25 million metric tons, looking for something closer to 15 million metric tons. And USDA seems to have 16 million metric tons going to China in its balance sheet as I do the math. But as we talk to our contacts on the ground in China, they're fully convinced the government will make sure they buy 25 million metric tons. And we say, what gives you that confidence? They say, that is such a cheap price to pay extra for U.S. soybeans to please President Trump in order to get the concessions they need in other trade issues, like getting the chips that they need for the computers, like being accessed to our vast consumer market with their consumer goods. So they're fully convinced that China will buy 25 million metric tons. So if they do buy 25 million metric tons and import it in the coming marketing year with the strong biofuel program, and we only get a trend or lower yield, then the market likely needs to ration demand in some way to make it work. So there's a lot of things going here. Now, as you look longer term, the fertilizer shortage I mentioned out of the Sea of Hormuz, the first crop to watch for that impacting would be the Brazil safrinha corn crop. And oh yeah, safrinha corn crop in Brazil is in a region that tends to have a high correlation with strong El Ninos drying it up. They tend to see some impact on soybean production, but the bigger impact yet tends to be on safrinha corn production. Now, there's not a lot of years that they've been growing safrinha corn at today's levels, the last two decades significantly, and not a lot of strong El Ninos during that period. So it's a small set of years to use to set a trend. So be cautious about that. But each of those years did see that region where we grow the most safrinha corn significantly impacted. So that'll be something to watch as well. All of that, Brazil being the number two exporter of corn, but it now has a strong ethanol program using up much of its corn.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
One of the beauties of commercial cow-calf production is there's critical control points through the year where management needs to be pretty intense. That may be preg checking, weaning, the day we vaccinate calves, but those cows are pretty self-sustaining. They still act according to nature. They go out and they turn grass into a weaned calf.
Dr. Mark Johnson is Oklahoma State Beef Breeding Specialist.
But as we reach this point in the year, after some recent rainfall, as we take inventory of things here in the month of July, we talk about some management practices that give us a really good return on investment and just a basic checklist of things to think through. And depending on when we calve, for example, it may be time to get that first round of vaccinations into our calves. Or potentially, if we calved a little bit earlier, it may be time for the second round of vaccinations. If we can get a second round of vaccinations into calves prior to weaning, it really reduces the weaning stress, makes the whole weaning process a lot earlier. What are some other things that give us a great return on investment? Things like growth implants, castration, potential dehorning if we're not using homozygous polled bulls. All those are big ways to capitalize in the marketplace at whatever point that we're going to market those calves later on in the fall or potentially on out to yearlings with respect to some of that stuff. Other things to think about this time of year, heat. We've definitely seen more heat in Oklahoma in the month of July. We have seen some unseasonal moisture as we got into the late part of June and even early parts of July. That could mean different things in different operations. We may need to monitor water supply and make sure the quality of water is good. We may need to monitor shade. If we're going to be working cattle this time of year, we want to make sure we do it really early in the morning. We're dealing with some nights that aren't getting below 70 degrees right now. And when that occurs, it makes it a lot harder for cattle to dissipate heat load overnight. So if we're going to be working with cattle this time of year, we want to be doing it at the crack of dawn and be done with it very early in the morning so that we don't overly heat stress those cattle. Other things to give consideration to, if we haven't put up a hay crop yet, and it's been an interesting summer with respect to didn't have a lot of intense heat in June, by early July, a lot of those native grass hay meadows still weren't really ready yet in terms of quantity to turn into a hay crop. But if we haven't done that yet, if we're going to do it, it's definitely time to get that hay put up. That sweet spot for native grass hay meadows that's the best trade-off between quality that is typically maximized late May and into June versus quantity that's going to maximize as that grass gets more mature going into the month of August. Ordinarily, we'd say we like to get those hay meadows baled up by the early part of July. This year's been kind of an exception because of the heat pattern, but if we haven't done it yet, it's definitely time to be getting that done. So just a few things to think through as far as management practices, getting a return on investment for that intensive management that we're going to apply in a cow-calf operation, and basically a list to work through.
From management to markets, Dr. Glenn Tonser, Kansas State livestock economist.
Choice was 364, at least through this past Thursday, down about $4 on the week. Select was 349, about $6 over the same week. So we're seeing some softening signals there from the box beef front, but lots of discussion about K-shaped economy, slowing economic growth, or wages not keeping up the cost of living, that kind of stuff, which isn't unique to beef, but I'm starting to see some signals where maybe that's weighing on the beef complex a little bit. And the softer beef, you know, box beef cut out specifically this past week, unfortunately, would be consistent with that.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operation safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about succession planning, right? What does this look like? What is succession planning?
Anastasia Meyer is an extension ag economist with the Center for Agricultural Profitability at the University of Nebraska at Lincoln. She breaks down succession planning into three parts: labor, management, and ownership.
Well, succession planning is how do you transfer your business onto the next generation, right? So we break this down into three different areas. We have labor, we have management, and we have ownership. The owners are typically willing to give up the labor the first. It's the easiest thing to do, especially if, you know, they're feeling it in their bones and they can't physically do the stuff anymore. So labor is often the easiest, but we have to remember that no farmer, ranch, heir or non-heir that is coming back to the farm wants to just be a laborer their whole life. That's usually when we're seeing disagreements among family that they want to start making those decisions. And so how do I work them into the next tier, the management tier? This key part, the middle part, is the biggest key to success. How are you training them to manage the farm or ranch before you transfer it? Start inviting them to the bank meetings, to the insurance meetings. Start training them on how do you make these decisions, right? Start them off small when maybe we're talking about tens of thousands of dollars in decisions, whether it's buying bowls or your seed selection, before you pass away and now they have ownership and they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars decisions, right? So this management is what we really need to focus on in a transition plan of how do we train the next generation to take over management. It's overwhelming. When landowners pass on, the heirs inherit and they've had no management experience, this is often overwhelming, and this kind of decides when some people are going to sell their ground because they can't manage it. So that before we go into ownership, let's focus on the management aspect. So like I said, invite them to those meetings. Answer those questions of, well, why did you do this? Why did we do this? It's really simple to say, well, that's just because. Like, that's just the way it is, right? We don't want to always explain ourselves. But if we're passing on a farm or ranch, we have to be able to say why we are making these decisions and how they affect the farm or ranch operation overall. Again, we talked about death, disability, divorce, bankruptcy, but, you know, those could happen tomorrow. They could happen 10, 20 years from now. So let's start these management processing and training now in case something does happen. And then also tell them what structures or agreements do we have in place. So if they're coming back, you need to have a position description for them. But what does your operation agreements look like? Are you in an LLC, entity agreements? Where are your leases at? What do your leases say? Are there any buy-sell trade agreements? It is amazing when you work through families' farms or ranches when, you know, they thought that they owned the ground that was around them, but maybe they just owned the house and that the LLC or something else owned the ground that the house sat on. So those small nuances of farms, and every farm has those nuances, make sure that you're training the next generation to take them over.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today, purplewave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.